Book of Daniel, chapter number 2. We was talking Sunday about there is a God in heaven. And Daniel, of course, is now telling Nebuchadnezzar about his dream. And he made a statement when he started to tell him about it, that it wasn't him, it was God in heaven that interpreted that, knew what it was and knew how to interpret it. And he made sure that Nebuchadnezzar knew that it was God of Israel, not Daniel, not Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, but God that did that. And so we talked about the men that wouldn't compromise in the book of Daniel. We talked about there is a God in heaven. I want us to pick up on something else tonight. In chapter number 2, start at verse number 31. I want you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 31. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. That is, it was a frightening sight, such an image that it was. And remember now, the king knew it was something that frightened him, and he knew it was something that he didn't understand, but he couldn't remember what it was. And he knew that if somebody could tell him what it was and then interpret it, it'd be true. And so he saw this great image, and it's very terrible. This image, head, verse number 32, this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together because and became like the shaft of the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. We'll stop reading there because we're going to read probably most of the rest of the chapter as we preach tonight and talk about this. Let's bow our heads, ask God to help us tonight as we study the Word of God. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege we've had tonight to come together and sing. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that we can open and read. And thank you for what you tell us in thy Word. Help us to rightly divide it and be able tonight to say what we need to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit would take it and speak to our hearts and help all of us, God, to remember that you're sovereign God and that you have everything under control and that you know everything from beginning to end. And Father, we thank you tonight that we can come together here at this time, this place, and worship you and give you glory and give you thanks and knowing that you know all things. So we commit it to your hands tonight. Have your way. Speak to hearts of every person present. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Preaching, I guess if I titled it tonight, I'd say an overview of the Gentile world, Gentile domination, Gentile rule, however you want to word it. I'm not an authority on prophecy. I very quickly tell you that, but this deals with prophecy. And there's some things here given to us I think we can learn and glean from that may be a help to us. I know one thing it'll help us to remember that God is always right. God knows everything from beginning unto end, and nothing takes God by surprise. And you can rest assured today that what we're facing is no surprise to God. He knew all about that. He knows all about that, has always known about that. And so keep that in mind. Now let me say just a word about the context of this. Of course, Israel now has gone into bondage. This is the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. Nebuchadnezzar, his rule, Babylon taking Judah, King Jehoiakim, You remember in chapter 1 was taken because God turned him over to Nebuchadnezzar. And he went into bondage because of that. Fact, and here he is, and they're in bondage. Israel's in bondage, northern kingdom already taken. Now Judah's taken, and now here comes the rule of the Gentiles. And this time that is. Israel, and I don't think it can be overemphasized, Israel is God's chosen people. Now they are a special place. When I say God's chosen people, that does not mean that God loves them any more than he loves us. It does not mean that they're any more important in a sense of being important to God than we are. But it does mean that God has a special place for the nation of Israel. And there is special things to come yet in Israel's life. And Israel being a nation is a miracle of modern day. 1948 flew our flag. First time 70 AD. Israel scattered around the world, Jews everywhere. But come back and be a nation is a miracle of God. And then what God says here about what's going to happen. And Nebuchadnezzar was troubled about it because he wanted to know what's going to happen. Here he is, and he's ruling the known world today. And he's in that great place called Babylon that he thinks will never fall, but it did. And he thinks that he wonders what's happening. Then he has this dream. And he can't get a hold of it, and he's afraid. And by the way, ruling the world don't make you be exempt to be afraid. And fact is, it don't even satisfy. And sin doesn't satisfy. Nothing satisfies but Jesus. That's all, being right with God. But here he is, and he's having this dream and had it. And Daniel, you know, went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they all prayed and fasted. God gave him the answer. He comes back to the king, makes it known to the king that it was God that gave it to him. And then he begins in verse number 32, telling him what he has dreamed. Then throughout this chapter, he interprets that and tells the meaning of it. And I pray tonight that we can glean something from this that we may see. In fact, is it gets kind of exciting to tell you the truth about it, because I know that we're nearing the end of the time of fullness of the Gentiles. By the way, there's a difference in the fullness of the Gentiles and the end time, end of the Gentiles. And I pray tonight that you'd think about that, times of the Gentiles. Look in Luke 21, 24. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. The times of the Gentiles and then the fullness of the Gentiles is different. The times of the Gentile, Luke 21, 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now the times of the Gentiles. Now we know Israel tonight is in our own land. We know Jerusalem's there. But we know that that is not going to be the case up until the end. The Gentiles will overrun Israel, and Israel will be under their domination, and they will flee and go to Petra. We know that. And so he said the end times of the Gentiles until that's completed. But I want you to look with me in Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 25. Romans 11, verse number 25. Here you find the fullness of the Gentiles. Listen to what it says. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The fullness of the Gentiles will be come in when the rapture of the church takes place. And we leave out of here. And then Israel, of course, will believe the Antichrist at first. But God begins to deal with Israel again as that chosen nation in a special way. And before that tribulation is over, Israel will realize who Jesus is. And so the fullness of the Gentiles will be come in. Now, I know there's people of the Jewish race that's saved today. these people saved, but majority of people today that are saved are Gentiles. The bride is mainly made up of Gentiles, and we are that bride. We are that one that has been called out. And the church of the living God, I talked about the church a little bit Sunday night. I want to remind you again, the church is the bride of Christ. And in the Old Testament, Israel called the wife of God. But the church is the bride of Christ. And so remember that. And that bride is made up mainly of Gentiles. And here we come now to the rule of Gentiles. And this world tonight is under the rule of Gentiles. And has been ever since Nebuchadnezzar as a whole. As I talked about Israel coming back, but that's not any great rule that's been taking place there, just a little nation of Israel. But it's important, it's very prominent, and it will be in the end time. But now notice with me, please, and let's look at the head here of this image. The image head was of fine gold, verse 32. Fine gold. But look in verse number 37, 38. And that we didn't read tonight, but listen to it. Thou, O king, are a king of kings, talking to Nebuchadnezzar, for the God of heaven have given thee a kingdom. Now, it makes him realize again that he didn't get that by himself, but the God of heaven put him in that place. Have given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Now here's the head of gold. That's Nebuchadnezzar. That's the kingdom of Babylon. Here it is, and he sees that. He's interpreted that and said, now Nebuchadnezzar, that's where you are. And that's what that head of gold represents. And so that's taken care of. Then he says in verse number 32, back in that, his breast and his arms of silver. And then I want you to look with me, please, in verse number 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Now notice it had two arms, and these are silver. And here's Babylon. If you know history, of Bible history, you'll know that after Babylon fell by the Medes and the Persians, they came in, and they took that city they thought could not be taken. In fact, Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And it failed to the Medes and the Persians. And Darius and Cyrus came on the scene. And Cyrus was named 100 years before that he ever came, even was born. And back in the book of Isaiah. And so prophecy, you can rest assured prophecy is fulfilled and will be fulfilled. Now this all that Nebuchadnezzar was ruling, Babylon was there, but that was all. And the Medes and the Persians wasn't thought to be a power. And certainly the Romans were not thought to be a power. It's only a little small village. And here we find God giving Nebuchadnezzar a picture in this image that he saw of what's coming in the Gentile rule of the world. And so Nebuchadnezzar ruled, but then the Medes and the Persians came as a silver breast and arms, and they came, but said they'd be inferior to thee. They wasn't as great in might and power as was Babylon, as was Nebuchadnezzar. But notice verse number 32 again. And said in his belly and his thighs were of brass. And now look in verse number 39 again. He's now he talked about after the arise of that second kingdom, I said a third kingdom. A brass shall bear rule over all the earth. And this is where Alexander the Great came in and Greece took over and they ruled the world. And Alexander the Great sat down and wept because there's no more kingdoms to take over. He couldn't win any more kingdoms and win the battles, and he wept over it. But certainly it was a mighty swift moving. He's pictured as a leopard later in chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. Also chapter 17 of Revelation tells us some things that are listed here. But this kingdom now that we're talking about, the third kingdom, was brass. Now notice the fourth kingdom in verse number 33. His legs of iron and his feet part of iron and part of clay. Then notice with me in verse number 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, For so much as iron is breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now he's talking about the strength of it. And then says, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes. Toes not mentioned in verse 33, but it is here in verse number 41. Feet and toes, 10 kingdom. That'll come up in chapter 7. That'll come up as 10 horns, and one little horn comes up and notes out 3. It'll come up in Revelation 17. But notice what he says. Feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. Kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. As the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, and the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now we come into that Roman Empire, and the two legs speaks of the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire that came to be. Then you have the feet part iron, part clay, and then the 10 toes, and said it's not, it's mixed with weakness and strength. And by the way, I want to plug this in right here. You and I are seeing today a mixture of iron and clay. You and I are living in a generation that's seeing a strength. They talk about the power that's in the atomic bomb and the fear of that nuclear war that may take place. And strength is there. There's armies that have strength. Certainly America has been blessed down through the years with strength. But let me say this to you. And this, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I am a true American. I thank God for my country. I praise God for America. I thank God I live in America, have the freedom to worship like I do. I thank God for all of that. But democracy is not God's way to rule. And fact is, democracy will not work. You say, preacher, that's a strong statement, because we're trying to get everybody to think about democracy. You know what democracy says it is? Of course, America's not true democracy or republic. But democracy says we're ruled by the people for the people. The people cannot rule themselves. You know why? Because people are selfish. People have self-interest. People have special groups. People go for their own interest. And so rule by the people for the people cannot work, because man is incapable of ruling himself. Let me say this to you now. You can't even rule your own personal self. Much less think about ruling the government. You're incapable of doing that. I'm incapable of doing that. And every man is incapable of doing that. We hear some things coming out of Washington, D.C., and we think, how in the world can anybody in their sane mind think that way? Well, if you was there, you'd probably be coming out with something pretty crazy yourself, and I would too. And I'm not taking up for anybody in Washington. Don't get me wrong. That crowd done gone. But maybe not all of them, but... well, we won't get into that. But anyway, I'm just telling you that democracy is not God's way. God's rule is theocracy. God is the only one that is capable of ruling man and keeping man in order and keeping man doing what's right and being just and right in all things. There's not but one that can rule, and that is God. Amen. I don't want you getting caught up in this thing that democracy is the answer for the world. Democracy is not the answer for the world. There's not but one answer, and that is a theocracy that's going to come one day, and then the world shall be ruled as it ought to be ruled. But today you're seeing that mixture of weakness and strength. It's going to continue on until the end time. And we got to get out of here. You and I that are saved must get out, because that stone's not going to come and crush that image until after the church is gone and tribulation has come and gone. And then, hallelujah, I'm glad I read the end of this story. Amen. Now, by the way, let me just plug this in while I run by. If you look at that image, gold, silver, brass, iron, iron mixed with clay, it is a deterioration from the top to the bottom. It's deteriorated, and it is deteriorating today. Man is not improving himself. Government's not improving. It's getting worse all the time. It is getting weaker all the time. It is becoming less and less of force. And you and I don't know what we'll face. I don't know what's coming. I just know Jesus is coming. And what's going to happen in the government, what's going to happen, all these things, I cannot tell you, except the fact I do know that men's hearts shall wax worse and worse. And I do know that man will try to bring in one world government. And I do know they'll try to get a one money system in the tribulation period. I do know that. And I see the forerunners of that coming right now. Man has always tried to get the world together so we can have peace. And it never works out. Somebody always goes renegade on it, amen. And it will happen again and again and again, because it'll never bring peace until the Prince of Peace gets here. Now look with me, please, in verse number 34. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together. Now notice he started with the feet. Started with the toes, the feet, that strong and weak together mixed. That's what the last empire will be. That's what the last ruling empire of Gentiles will be. That's where he starts, this mountain, this stone cut out without hands. Speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe he's any Bible scholar. Disagree with that. If he is, he's a plumb liberal. He ought to be shot. No, I mean, he ought to be throwed out. Not read, whatever. I don't guess you ought to shoot anybody, but anyway. Bible says thou shalt not kill. I had to back up on that real quick. But any, you know what I mean. And said this, just blowed it all away as a shaft of the summer threshing floors. In other words, you couldn't even find it. It wasn't even nothing, and wasn't anything left of it. All these governments, Nebuchadnezzar thought he had a great kingdom. You'll find him building an image after a while and calling for them to worship. He thought he had a great kingdom. Medes and Persians thought they had a great kingdom. And Alexander the Great thought he had a great kingdom. And then Rome came on the scene and they thought they had a great kingdom. And they was ruling the known world when Jesus was born and came into the world. And so that has trickled on down even to the day. I realize as a that there's a revival of the Roman Empire going on now. And those old countries of that Roman Empire is coming to power. And you're seeing that in the European common market. And you'll see more of it now. Exactly who those 10 toes are, I can't tell you. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that. I'm just telling you they're going to be 10, will come, 10 countries somewhere, somehow, some nation, somewhere is going to be there. And we see them trying to get together, trying to cry peace, trying to get it all worked out. And it's not going to work. But notice it said that sauce until a stone was cut out without hands. You and I, the rapture. Now, Daniel didn't see the rapture, but Daniel's seeing the end times. Notice he said in verse number 28, said, make known unto thee what shall come in the latter days. He's seeing the latter days. He's seeing the end time. And fact is, he's seeing the Gentile kingdoms from Nebuchadnezzar all the way through. Dr. H.A. Arnside said this is probably the greatest prophecy chapter in the Bible, the most concise, the most simple, put down the best as far as simplicity and understanding all the countries and all the kingdoms, Gentiles until the end. I agree with him. It is put there in that image. We see it, Nebuchadnezzar. We see the Medes and the Persians. We see the Greeks. We see Rome. And now we're seeing a mixture of that coming in our day. And that's going to be the last kingdom. And the Antichrist will come out of that. And he'll come to power. Tribulation will take place at the end of the tribulation. Now you and I'm a pre-trib man. I believe the Bible teaches me I am not appointed under wrath. Amen. And the Bible teaches in the tribulation that God's going to pour out wrath upon this world. And so I've got to get out. And it's pictured throughout Scripture. We've got to get out. Before the flood came, Noah had to get in the ark. And for God ever did that, Enoch got out. Amen. And so we identify with Enoch. I got to get out of here before judgment comes. Israel, the ark pictures Israel riding out. Noah and his family pictures Israel riding out the flood. Enoch pictures getting out before the flood. And you and I are going to get out, and Israel's going to ride through it. And so we're getting now to the near the end. But can't you imagine that king and seeing this great stone coming down and it just rolling over those toes of that image falling down, grinding it to powder, and then the wind blowing it all away. Hey, when Jesus sets up his, it said that stone became, filled the whole earth. I'm glad, praise God, there's going to be a day when God's knowledge shall cover the earth as waters that cover the sea. There'll be a day when God's kingdom rules it all. There'll be no back talk. There'll be no somebody saying, I'll do as I please. In fact, during the millennium reign, God said, if he don't act right, it won't even rain over at your house. Amen. That's why someone's not getting rain over our house now. Amen. And we're not doing that. Hey, but that's another message. I just tossed that in there and think on it. Hey, man, is it going to rain over your house? But anyway, I'm telling you, in that day, Jesus Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron, and he will bring peace on earth, and it will be right. And we won't be voting to see what we're going to do, and we won't be saying, well, I think we ought to sign a peace treaty with that country, or we ought to help out over there and send them some aid. It won't be any of that stuff. He will make every decision. It will be right, and we won't have to worry about it. I say hallelujah. Won't pay taxes either. Glory. Hallelujah. If I didn't want to go to heaven for any other reason, I want to go because there won't be any taxes. Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of reasons why I won't go to heaven, but I'm telling you, won't be in taxes there. Not going to be in sorrow. Not going to be heartaches and trouble. But we are seeing this chapter number 2, the book of Daniel. You're seeing this. Now, preacher, well, what about all this? Well, number 1, it shows us that God's prophecy is always right. The Medes and Persians wasn't a power then. Neither was Greece. Alexander the Great never been heard of. And the Roman Empire never been heard of. Fact is, Rome, as I said, was a little bitty town at that day when this was written. And nobody would have thought that Rome would ever become a power. But it did. That's prophecy fulfilled. Cyrus named ahead. That's prophecy fulfilled. And what we're seeing today, well, the division of the Roman Empire was prophecy fulfilled. And what we're seeing today, the iron and the clay won't mix. We're seeing it today. Prophecy fulfilled. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm looking for prophecy to be fulfilled. I know today that we're living in that Gentile rule age, but we're coming to the close, and we got to get out of here. And soon the rapture will take place, and we'll go, and God will turn back to Israel, and Antichrist will be ruling, but he can't handle God. And when God comes back with that stone rolling, it'll be Jesus Christ. He is a rock of ages. He is the rock. Well, I wanted to close, but let me give you something real quick. Look in Isaiah 28, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Look in chapter 32 of Isaiah, chapter number 32. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You don't have to turn there, but let me give you something here. If I can find it, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graven thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In one day. I want to give you one more, and I'm going to close, try to. Matthew 21, verse 44. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the end time. I'd rather fall on the rock, broken, and trust in him as my Savior than have the rock fall on me and grind me to powder. Now, you that are unsaved tonight, you can't go if the rapture comes. But God's looking for saved people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for thy word, thy truth. And Lord, I know that all this prophecy is sure it has happened in the past, or that that's not happened yet will happen. And Lord, that stone one day will come and fill this earth, the Rock of Ages, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. God, help us tonight to realize, Lord, that prophecy, you're the God of the Bible, the God that tells us what's going to happen. And we need to be expectation and be looking and waiting. We need also, Lord, to occupy till you come. Help us be busy about your business till you get here. Father, as we looked at all this and see the Gentile rule and as it winds down, we're seeing things in our day that we thought we'd never see. But Lord, it helps us realize we're nearing that great hope, the precious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd help all of us that we may keep our minds and hearts tuned in with you. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand to your feet, please.